a podcast is never late, Nick Dissemblian. Nor is it early. It arrives precisely when it means to.
Hello, Nick.
Chris, I come to you now at the turn of the tide. a line, of course, spoken in the Two Towers by Gandalf the White, not Gandalf the Grey. I just saw the Two Towers at the weekend.
Did you?
Extended edition on the big screen. All 4 hours of it.
Did you extend your edition?
4 hour Peter Jackson intro.
Was it that exciting?
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
Mind-blowingly cool.
Why are we talking about Lord of the Rings, Nick? Hello, pod. I'm Chris Hewitt. Welcome to the latest episode of The Shameless Plug. This is the 12th edition. 12th? 12th? Can I even say that? 12th edition. 12th? 12th? Am I tripping up on that? This is the 12th edition of The Shameless Plug, which, of course, brings you the behind-the-scenes stories behind the latest issue of Empire Magazine. And every month, I am joined, whether I want to be or not, by my friend and neighbor, Nick Dissemblian, the editor of Empire Magazine. Hello, Nick.
Hi, Chris. You can call me Mithrandir if you like to. This is my proper title. I'm trying to enforce that a bit more.
And the issue we are talking about, Nick, remember from the very beginning of this podcast, I've been asking you, are you doing anything special for issue 450 of Empire? And you've been saying, no, can't be arsed, mate.
Just the normal thing.
You were lying. You were lying because this issue, March 2026 issue of Empire Magazine, issue 450, is an absolutely stupendous event. One magazine to rule them all on the cover. 25 years of Peter Jackson's The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, and on the cover, we shot The Fellowship.
Five ninths. What is that as a percentage?
It's more than half.
Five ninths.
It's more than half.
It's about 70%, I would say.
But then once you factor hobbits in, right, because they're quite small. So is a hobbit, is like two hobbits, one human? I don't know.
Fun fact, the other four members of the Fellowship are there as well, but they're just behind them, so you can't see them. No, that's not true. I mean, it would have been amazing to get them all together, but they are all spread across the globe.
Spread.
On different adventures.
Quests.
Questing. But we did speak to all of them, but we'll get to that.
We will get to them.
We reunited the four hobbits.
The four hobbits.
Elijah Wood. Dominic Monaghan.
Sean Astin.
And Billy Boyd. Ian McKellen.
Stop it.
For an amazing shoot, which we did back in August, because that was the only window that we had to get them, and we had a day with them. It was incredible. Go online and watch our videos with them. We have a couple of videos that are really fun. They talk about their tattoos. In one of them, they all got matching tattoo at the end of the shoot.
They all got the elfish, was it? It's like the king's very own rune, isn't it? It's something more. I watched one of those videos.
Okay.
I watched one of those videos.
Yeah, they have a tattoo and they all have them in a different place. I think Ian McKellen's is on his shoulder. I don't know why I know that.
Mine was in Wellington.
Indeed. So yeah, it is an issue of special magnificence, which took a long time to put together. I want to say 6 months. I've been working on this for 6 months.
Six months.
It's not easy when you're doing, because I did a big feature for the 20th. No, for the 15th, 10 years ago. The 15th anniversary, we got the 9 members of the Fellowship to interview each other.
You won an award for this, didn't you?
I did win an award for it. Best Fellowship of the Ring based inspired feature. No, I won an award, which was lovely because it took bloody ages.
It was amazing. Tell the folks what it was. What your idea was.
We basically asked each of the 9 members of the Fellowship, the actors, to write 9 questions for one of the other ones. And then we did it. We called it the ring cycle and it went around. So it looped around, said the last one, then asked the questions.
In hindsight, I'm not so sure you should have won an award because you did very little work.
I did lots of work. Did you just hear what you said?
We got them to come up with questions. So you got other people to do your work for you and you waltzed off with a trophy for it.
Oh, yeah.
You charlatan.
There was a lot of nudging. There was a lot of, excuse me. No, that one took ages as well because they're all busy people.
Yeah.
They're all over the world. And, you know,
it's exciting,
there's always one of them that you're trying to get and can't quite get hold of. And then it all came together. And it came together this time as well.
Is this something you've been planning for a while, though? Or were you hoping that it was going to happen? Because obviously it is 25 years of Fellowship, which makes me feel very, very old indeed. And were you thinking, okay, let's do something big. Let's push a boat out. Now, this isn't 25 years of Fellowship to the release date. This is 25 years of Fellowship. If I'm right in thinking, Nick, you've timed this to the year. But also... Yeah. it's 25 years pretty much since the very first magazine cover for Fellowship of the Ring, which was indeed Empire Magazine.
Elijah Wood is Frodo holding Sting. Yeah, it's...
Message in a bottle. Sting was furious about it. I hear.
But yeah, no, it was something that I had the idea in the summer, and then we met with Warner Brothers and we proposed it to them because, you know, they were kind of involved. And actually, the film, my theory, it's not been confirmed, my theory, you know, the films are in cinemas at the moment. My theory is they timed it to this issue because, no, genuinely, it's it started the same week as our issue came out. So coincidence or not?
Coincidence?
I think that they... were kind of a bit inspired, and they were like, "Oh right, yeah, we should do something." That's what I think.
It's amazing.
I might be wrong. I might be a massive narcissist, but yeah, we then it was interesting. We had that conversation in the summer, and then, you know, a day or two later, I was on Instagram, and something popped up saying that Ian McKellen and the Hobbits were going to be in London, and we were like, "Oh, we should try and get a day with them." And it wasn't easy to get the time. In the end, two of the Hobbit actors came to the shoot straight from the airport.
Wow.
Pretty
much. Which two?
Let me guess. Sean Astin and Elijah Wood.
Darn it.
Yeah.
Well, because they all live abroad now, don't they? Yeah. And Dom and Billy live overseas, I believe.
Don't know. But it was very nice of them to do that. And
it was lovely of them to do that.
Appear at conventions together quite often. They're on a tour around America at the moment, I think. But they haven't been...
You're ruining the magic. You're making it sound less special at these
times. But I'm saying they hadn't been with Ian McKellen for a very long time. So it was a very special thing. It was a very special thing.
That's amazing. This is incredible. So this is the centerpiece, rightly so, Nick, because these films are a two towering achievement in modern cinema history. And it's not just The Fellowship being reunited. You've done all sorts of stuff here. So let's talk. Let's go through it. Usually we go through the features section, feature by feature. There's only one place to start. Ian Nathan, who I think is, probably in the premier Lord of the Rings film writer, scribe, person in the world.
He's literally written the book.
He has literally written the book.
Anything you can imagine, which if you're a fan of Lord of the Rings and you've not read that, get a copy straight away because it's absolutely fantastic. But yeah, we asked Ian, there was no one else, to talk to Peter Jackson and Philippa Boyens for us. Ian was on the set of the Lord of the Rings films 25 years ago, so he's been interviewing Peter Jackson for as long as these films have existed. And it was great. It's a great read. Peter Jackson does an impression of Sean Connery at one point.
Does he?
Yeah.
Does that come across well in the feature?
I'd love to hear the audio of it. I haven't heard the audio, but I'd love to, because you may know Sean Connery was the original Gandalf.
He
never got back to... They asked him to play Gandalf, and he was too busy playing golf or something, so he just never got back to them.
It led, of course, to the classic Connery quote years later when he did The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, where he had turned down The Matrix. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing, but he said something like, "I was offered Lord of the Rings and didn't understand it and turned it down. I was offered The Matrix. I didn't understand it, so I turned it down. I don't understand this, but I'll be fucked if I'm turning it down." And of course, it was his last ever movie, and it was a horrible experience for him.
He said that about Sir Billy as well. Can you imagine Sean Connery grappling with, you shall not pass!
Genuinely. Plash. It's the one sliding door that I think would be really interesting. I do not want to erase McKellen from history. McKellen is iconic and indelible as Gandalf. I'm not taking that performance away. But I would love to go to a multiverse where Connery is Gandalf, because he would have been incredible.
I'm sure someone can do it and will do it with AI. I don't think Ian McKellen is... I don't think you can. I don't think there's anyone on earth who could have done Gandalf with that twinkly-eyed... there's so many different... I've just been watching the films remastered on the big screen because they're out again in cinemas as we're recording this. I'm seeing a five-hour version of Return of the King on Saturday.
Really?
5 hours.
All the endings?
All 94 endings.
Wow.
I've just been blown away all over again by many things, but Ian McKellen, I think, is just the heart,
he's
the
amazing.
Heart of these movies.
He's amazing. But Connery would have been incredible also, I think it's fair to say. Like, you know, obviously, I think a lot of the casting is... And the casting close calls are out there now. And Stuart Townsend famously was Aragorn just for a week, 2 weeks or so, something like that. And then they thought, well, this isn't quite working out. Yeah. And so
James Corden auditioned to play Sam.
Sam.
Can you imagine?
You know what? I can.
Him and Frodo in the back of a... singing in the back of a car, driving around Mordor.
Do you think the Chuckle Brothers auditioned? Because they'd have been a great Merry and Pippin.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
That'd be fantastic.
To me, to you, just throwing the ring around.
Yep.
But anyway, back to, we've been distracted.
Back to the
but
thing,
Ian does a terrific interview with Peter Jackson and Philippa Boyens. They confirmed we'd heard rumors of the Mithril cut. This mythical, even longer
mythical
Lord of the Rings mythical, with extra stuff thrown in, you know, maybe the Arwen at Helm's Deep stuff that's talked about a lot and all this other stuff. Somebody swore to me when I went to New Zealand for Avatar, somebody I won't name swore to me the Mithril cut was real. And I thought it was, but according to Peter Jackson, not.
Maybe he has just forgotten about it.
He's lost it down the back of the sofa.
Yeah, he's been too busy hanging out with the Beatles to do that. But that's an amazing, that's a four-page feature that kicks off our FOTR coverage by Ian Nathan. Opening line, yes, we're returning to the opening lines. Peter Jackson pauses, stares into the middle distance. There you go. Mm. Actually, technically speaking, that was two sentences.
That's how I start every one of my Zoom calls. But no, it's a great...
And then we have... the reunion of the Hobbits and Gandalf, and this was overseen by Dan Jolin, right?
Dan the Grey, yes. Dan, who has done a lot of Ringsy stuff. He is a walking appendices. He went down
there.
He had
his appendices removed, I heard.
much like the theatrical auditions. he went along and had a great old natter with them. And it was all just very lovely because, like I said, they hadn't seen the four of them, hadn't seen Ian McKellen for quite a while. So it was just a lovely old, to quote Ian McKellen, this is a lovely reunion, he said at the end.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah.
Just waiting to see what happens when we reunite the stars of X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, yeah.
Here's Dan's opening line. If there's one thing we've learned from the Lord of the Rings movie trilogy, it's that a wizard is never late, nor is he early.
Boom.
And you're like, well, where are you going with this, Dan? Where are you going with this? To find out, you're going to pick up the issue. But yeah. It's cracking. So, but hey, listen, just because we couldn't get Orlando Bloom and Sean Bean and Viggo Mortensen and John Rhys-Davies at that physical reunion, don't worry. We've got you. We've got you covered. So you reunited them virtually in pairs.
So the theme, the theme was fellowship, even though we're celebrating all three of the films, but we jumped on that word as a kind of the theme of the issue. And so we thought it'd be nice to interview them in different pairing, in different configurations. So Ian McKellen and the Hobbits obviously make sense because that's how fellowship starts. And then obviously Orlando Bloom and John Rhys-Davies as Gimli and Legolas, the elf and the dwarf, who are kind of double act through the movies. And then Viggo and Sean, who have one of the best scenes in the whole trilogy, which Viggo Mortensen tells us is his favorite scene in the whole trilogy,
which is
the death of Boromir.
Oh, spoiler.
At the end of Fellowship. Sorry. But fun fact, Viggo Mortensen and Sean Bean had not talked since the Empire Awards 2009.
That is a fun fact.
This was their, and they got back in touch through this interview. And
wow.
It was lovely. Asked for each other's details and boom, Boromir and Aragorn reunited and maybe off on another adventure.
That is lovely. And this was also Dan, and Dan introduced it thusly. There are surely few who would dispute that Sean Bean and Viggo Mortensen shared one of cinema's greatest death scenes, the former expiring as flawed Gondorian Lord Boromir. Fucking hell, Dan, this is a long one. Pincushioned with orc arrows, the latter as the man who would be his king. Aragorn, this is still going on, filling Boromir's final seconds with hope for the beleaguered nation.
That was the extended cut. Yeah, that was the 5-hour edition of that sentence.
I love that. That
needs
amazing.
A special video intro from Peter Jackson to that sentence. But yeah, no, it's fantastic. And Dan had an amazing Zoom chat with Sean Bean was doing press for Anemone that day.
Yeah,
carved out some time. And they were really, really, really happy to talk to each other. And talked for like almost an hour, I think. So we may end up doing extended cuts of these Q&As.
How apropos.
We have quite a lot. So we may do that. Watch out.
That would be amazing. So 25 years on,
yeah.
You know, If you asked me to give you a detailed interview about what I was doing 25 years ago, I'd struggle. Did these guys, were their memories jogged?
Yeah, no, they were.
Do they have anecdotes loaded and ready to go? Was there anything fresh?
There was stuff. I feel like I know a lot about these films, and there was stuff I didn't know. I didn't know, for instance, that they reveal in this interview, who talks about it, Viggo talks about John Rhys-Davies having a Lazy Boy chair that contractually had to be carried around to every set, so he could sit in this reclining chair, and even if they were on a mountain, it would be brought up in a helicopter. And that is an amazing story I'd never heard. It's a shame, because I did the Orlando John Rhys-Davies interview, and I did not know that. Otherwise, I might have gingerly raised it, but maybe it's best I didn't.
Gingerly raised it on a Zoom. You're absolutely right, Lake. You did indeed talk to Orlando Bloom and John Rhys-Davies, Legolas and Gimli, of course. And here is your opening line, and this is rather lovely. They were and are a study in contrasts. And then you stop. You hear that, Dan? He stopped.
I should have put a comma in there. That was my mistake.
8 words. And yeah. I love that it's a study of contrasts, because that's a study in contrasts with Dan's sentence, which is very Tolkien-esque in that it's still going on.
Yeah, mine is a haiku. Dan's is Moby Dick. But I took this one myself because I just thought it'd be really fun to talk to these two.
Yeah.
There's so much fun in the movies, and they were fun. And we talked about their favorite Gimli Legolas moments. John Rhys-Davies extolled. He was in Austin, Texas, and he talked about the sushi there being excellent. So
why was he in Austin, Texas?
Business meetings, he said.
Business meetings?
Yes.
Sounds like Richard Linklater to me.
Yes. He did tell me more, but I probably shouldn't put it on a podcast.
Oh, no, by all means.
So his account numbers are. But he was there. Orlando was in LA, I think. And yeah, it was fun. Again, a really long, fun chat, which ran wildly over the time we had. And they were just really happy to chat to each other. And it was really fun.
Good.
I mean, they didn't kill anyone during the call, and then tally up the scores at the end to see who had killed more. But otherwise, it was really fun.
Did John Rhys-Davies go, "You could have picked a better spot"?
He did, actually. Yeah, the signal was a bit spotty.
All right, so
they both told me, just a bit of trivia from that. They both told me that they both offered their Lord of the Rings weapon to Zelensky in Ukraine.
Really?
Yeah. So he now has an axe and a boat. No, he doesn't. Apparently, you're not allowed to give weapons to political figures. So
I would think so.
Yeah, so anyway, so that was an interesting, unexpected bit of insight I got there.
I would think so. All right, so everyone who's watched these movies, and there are many of us who have watched them many, many times, will know that The Fellowship is perhaps a byproduct of the time when J.R.R. wrote it, and The Fellowship are therefore a great big old sausage factory. It's 9 ruddy bloody blokes. So Nick, you wanted to introduce a little bit of, you wanted to tip the scales a little bit, didn't you? You wanted to not just have a bunch of bloody sausages in this.
Yep. It's not just Lord of the Rings, it's Ladies of the Ring. And
like
we again on this theme of like pairing people up, we thought it'd be really fun to ask Cate Blanchett and Liv Tyler to talk to each other, because they're both play elves in the movies, elves, but don't have a scene together.
Yes.
Although they did shoot one.
Did they?
We asked about. Liv Tyler, the only thing she could remember was that she was sitting down in it, but otherwise couldn't remember anything that happened. But there is an image online of the two of them in costume in the same scene, but it's not been seen by anyone. They got on and they were talking about playing elves, and Liv Tyler talked about her marmalade business.
I'm reading it now. I love the reaction to Helen O'Hara did the interview. She asks, "Did you consider getting the fellowship tattoos the boys went for?" And their answers are very funny. I'll leave it to you to find out what it is. Helen's opening line is, "They may be ageless near goddesses, but that doesn't mean that Galadriel and Arwen, Cate Blanchett and Liv Tyler, have time to spare." I want to know more instantly.
It's a really fun read. And I just to say, like, the fact that all of these, that the whole main cast said yes to doing these interviews and eagerly kind of jumped on when they're all very busy people and it's difficult to schedule stuff, which just speaks to how much they love these films.
It's amazing.
They're happy to be part of them. So, yeah, I think we pretty much... Oh, and that's not all.
No, how did you finish this, Nick? How did you finish the celebration?
Well, we wanted to obviously salute in the past, but we also wanted to look a little bit into the future. And there is a new Lord of the Rings movie in production or in pre-production being to be directed by Andy Serkis. It's Lord of the Rings, The Hunt for Gollum.
What?
And it's gearing up in New Zealand right now. And so we asked Andy Serkis to write us a piece about his time on the Rings films and how it's prepared him to direct this new film himself and take over the baton.
It's a good read. All right, I'm going to give Andy Serkis the same level of respect I gave everyone else. Sorry, Andy, you wrote a
read
piece
his
for
last
us.
Line. Read his last line.
No, that's what the fuck? No.
But you do it in a Gollum voice.
I can't do Gollum voice.
Go on, I believe in you.
Anyway, his opening line is...
Do opening in a Gollum voice.
I don't think I'm there.
Go on, this is promising.
Nasty hobbitses, nasty hobbitses. I don't think I would be exaggerating if I were to say that Peter Jackson, well as being one of cinema's most phenomenal movies...
Oh, where am I going? Where am I from?
You've gone full Skeletor.
May we make us a He-Man? It's awesome.
You know what I'm doing?
You sound like the bad guy from the raccoons.
I'm doing the guy from the Gabardo Park. I'm doing the meerkat. I am Alexander. Now I've forgotten how to do him as well. I was pretty good though. I was doing all right for a while. Precious.
You sounded like if the meerkat from the GoCompare adverts was corrupted by the One Ring and enshrouded in darkness.
Only time will tell, precious. Only time will tell. That's not bad. That's pretty good.
It wasn't good, but I'll allow not bad.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
There you go, Lord of the Rings celebration. What are you going to do for the Two Towers?
What, next year?
Yep.
Just getting back together again. Slightly different
every
questions.
Year to diminishing returns.
Yeah, and this time I'll tell Dan to write a shorter sentence.
Oh my God, you don't restrain Dan. He is unfettered. If people had told Tolkien to write less, we wouldn't have these...
That's
these
true.
Books, and therefore these movies. All right, next feature. Let's race through the what's left in the feature section. In case you don't like Lord of the Rings, imagine that.
The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com.
We have a feature on Gore Verbinski's new movie, which kind of came out of nowhere. I don't think it was widely known that he was doing this. Gore Verbinski, of course, the brilliant filmmaker behind the original Pirates of the Caribbean movies and Rango and films like that. His next film, Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die, looks absolutely bonkers.
Yeah. He says it has fuck it energy, to quote Gore Verbinski. I mean, he is a fascinating guy. He made these giant blockbusters in the Hollywood system and now has kind of gone rogue and is now making smaller films with a lot of kind of anarchic energy, of which this is one. It's got Sam Rockwell as this kind of time-traveling guy who comes back to present-day, is it LA?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and rocks up at a diner dressed in some kind of...
Well, he claims to be time-traveling.
Right.
So we're not sure whether he is indeed a time traveler. He says there's a cataclysmic event that's happening in the future and he needs to recruit some people to stop it from happening, but they don't know whether or not he's telling the truth. I'm guessing he is telling the truth, but I guess it's part of the movie's charm. I haven't seen the film. I don't know. I'm really looking forward to it. The trailer looked absolutely berserk.
It looks unhinged in a good way. And I mean, Gore Verbinski is a great interviewee. He talks about AI and calls it a whiny little bitch at one point.
And rightly so.
And we talked to Sam Rockwell as well, who is a lot of fun. So yeah, it's a really interesting read and I'm very curious about this film. It looks nuts.
Jamie Graham wrote the feature. His opening line is, Gore Verbinski is grinning. Gore Verbinski? No, it's Peter Lorre. That's why I'm morphing into Peter Lorre. Gore Verbinski is grinning like a madman. See? Short, concise, to the point. Well done. Thanks, Jamie. What is next? It is My Father's Shadow.
So this is... Yeah, this is like a small but really kind of interesting looking film. It's made by these two British guys, Wale and Akinola Davies Jr., and they've made it about their dad, and it was kind of based on a childhood trip back to Nigeria that they had with their real dad, and it's them kind of recreating it on screen, and it's got a kind of backdrop of political turmoil, so there's a lot going on in it, and... It stars Chope Dirazu, you might know from Gangs of London, among other things. And it's a little cracker that we really wanted to celebrate and give some space to because it's a really kind of original, great British film.
Yes, indeed. Coming out soon. In fact, I think next week, February the 6th, Amon Woman wrote the feature, and his opening line is thus, Akinola Davies Sr. was a type of man people would tell stories about. Again, concise, to the point. No fanning around. Excellent stuff. My Father's Shadow. I hear great things about it. I have not seen it. I have seen the subject of our next feature. It is This Thing On, which is Bradley Cooper's third movie as director. And this one has an unusual origin story. And this is the focus, indeed, of our feature, because this is a movie that is essentially, but also not really, about the life story of the British comedian John Bishop. So if you don't know John Bishop, I think most people listening to this will know who John Bishop is, but John Bishop started off as a stand-up comedian entirely by accident. He went into a comedy store called The Frog and Bucket in Manchester about 25, now 26 years ago, when he was in the middle of a very painful divorce from his wife, Melanie, and to avoid paying the cover charge, in order to get in for free, they said, put your name down as an open mic night. He did, and he found himself called up on stage. He had nothing prepared to say, so he started talking about getting a divorce and found that he had a knack for stand-up comedy. He is now one of the most famous and successful stand-ups, I think, in the world, certainly in the UK. And as a result of this, got back together with his wife, and they're still going strong all these years later. And this is a story. This film is not about John Bishop. It's about an American comedian or American guy called Alex Novak, and he is played by Will Arnett from Arrested Development and BoJack Horseman. And you know Will Arnett. He's amazing. And a very popular podcast called Smartless, of course.
Voice of Lego Batman.
Voice of Lego Batman. He's brilliant. And he co-wrote this. This movie. So he's been the driving force behind it. Then Bradley Cooper came in to direct it because he was really drawn to the story. How do I know this? Because I did the interview, and the interview is with Will Arnett and John Bishop together. This was a logistical challenge, Nick, because they were not even in the same country.
What?
Will Arnett was in London promoting Is This Thing On. John Bishop was in Australia on tour, where he was doing his 25th anniversary tour, and it took him to Australia. But we managed to get them together. It was really late for John Bishop, really early for us, but that's fine. And it was a really fun conversation.
Were you with Will Arnett in the same physical
space?
No,
we felt that would be bad for sound.
Right.
And
you would have to keep spinning your chair.
Possibly. And then also we felt that it might mean that I was naturally biased towards the guy who was sitting beside me, and I'd keep directing questions to him instead of, and maybe Bishop would feel a little bit excluded.
Okay.
So we decided I did it from my flat. And
good behind the scenes juice.
Thanks, man.
I would say. Am I mistaken, or did you once do a stand-up set? Did you ever try?
No, I'm hoping to this year. I found it's one of the things I'd like to do before Big Birthday comes up later on this year. But I've never done it. But I've seen loads of stand up, and every now and again I'll go to a stand up comedian and go, I could do that. I could do that, and then I'll see someone. I'll see someone else. When my wife and I went to see Josh Johnson on Saturday night. You know who Josh Johnson is?
I don't.
He's amazing, amazing. He's a fast rising stand up from the States who's come over here. Show how fast he's rising. The last time we went to see him, he was at the Soho Theatre, Walthamstow, pretty big venue, but still. And now he has sold out four dates, four shows at the London Palladium, like that.
Wow.
And he's amazing. And a bit like John Bishop, he goes on with really nothing prepared. Like, he has things he wants to talk about, but he doesn't have jokes written down. Yeah. He just talks.
Yeah.
To you for an hour, hour and a half, and he's amazing. And you see someone like that, or Sarah Keyworth, who was his opening act, and you go, nope, can't do that. But I could do what they do, but not what they do. Yeah. Anyway, it's a great conversation.
It's a great piece. It's a really good film. I watched it over Christmas, and there aren't that many movies, I don't think, about stand-up. There's Funny People and Lenny and things like that.
Punchline.
Yeah, they're not generally that funny, the films. And this one is really funny, but also has a lot of heart.
Yeah.
And a great, just fantastic original story.
Yeah, I think it's terrific. And sadly, it hasn't made a dent in the Oscar race, which is a shame. I think it might be my favorite of Bradley Cooper's three movies as director.
I was going
to
say the same thing.
But,
are you going to read your own first line out in a derogatory fashion?
It's short and concise and to the point. You've heard a million A Man Walks Into a Bar gags. And then it's just stop.
but none with a punchline like this.
None with a punchline like this, Gollum.
Gollum, back in your box. Back in your box.
My Peter Lorre Gollum. Oh, God, that would be awful.
All right, so that was a really, really fun interview. I had about an hour with them. And then, I'm sorry, it's me again.
It's more Chris Hewitt.
You turn your back
on an issue for 5 minutes and it's riddled with Hewitt.
I know. I snuck in under cover of darkness. If anyone had tried to stop me from writing this feature, I would have flown them to a desert island and then tortured them. It is Sam Raimi's new film. Sam Raimi, some people may be aware, is my favorite filmmaker of all time. His new film is Sent Help. It is out next week in cinemas, February 5th over here, February 6th everywhere else, I believe. It stars Rachel McAdams and Dylan O'Brien as two co-workers who gets stranded on a desert island after a plane crash. And he's her boss, and she's a put-upon, slightly dowdy woman who is pretty much full of chopping block at his company. But she's much more equipped to survive on this desert island than he is. And slowly but surely, the tables begin to turn. So I spoke to Sam Raimi, and I spoke to Dylan O'Brien, and I spoke to Rachel McAdams. And they were both together for this. And they were a hoot. And Sam Raimi was a hoot also. And I've interviewed Sam a number of times over the years. And he has an impish, mischievous sense of humor. Rachel McAdams likens to a Monchichi, which I didn't know what that was.
Neither do I, but I enjoy hearing the words. I really like this because you kind of zeroed in on Raimi's kind of delight in tormenting actors, and that's kind of the through line of this piece. And it's very funny. There's also a bit in it where you're on a Zoom call with him, right? But he demonstrates his crazy camera style by giving you picking up his laptop and doing like an Evil Dead shot with his Zoom, which was I could absolutely imagine that.
Yeah, because Sam's quite a dapper gentleman, and he's quite softly spoken. When you actually interview him, he is a study of contrast, Nick, with his demented movies. And I was trying to get a sense, because I hadn't seen the film. I have now. And it's a hoot. I think I can say that. Yeah. Okay. I'm saying it. It's a hoot.
You can say it.
Is a review out?
I've seen it too. Yeah, okay. The review's out, and we can say it's a hoot.
I don't think I signed an NDA.
It's hoot adjacent.
It's fine. Yeah, it's hoot adjacent. It's
like
hoot.
Hell in the Pacific meets like a Wile E. Coyote movie, the cartoon or something. It's like probably the most disturbing thing in it is not all the blood and guts, but there's a scene involving a blob of tuna on someone's chin.
That has haunted
me.
That's haunted you? Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. There are other things in the movie that have haunted me.
That one's haunted me.
The movie's a hoot and a holler and a hoot and nanny and all that sort of stuff. But I hadn't seen it at this point. So I was trying to get a sense of whether Sam was employing his usual kinetic camera work and visual style. And he was playing a straight bat, and he was like, no, it's very classically directed. And there's an element of truth in that. Absolutely. And then I said, but is that guy still in you? You know, the guy, the crazy camera work guy of Evil Dead and Spider-Man, etc. And he went, and then he picked up the camera and went, whooped it around and went, yep, he's still in there.
That's pretty cool. Nice. That's pretty cool.
It was very cool.
All right,
very,
what's
very
your cool. first line?
First line, Sam Raimi likes to torture people.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Yeah. All right.
There you go. Hey, that's it for the feature section.
That's it.
Wow.
All killer, not filler. I'm glad I got that the right way around. all Gollum, no.
Gollum.
Yeah, no Colin. All Gollum.
All Gollum, no Column. That works.
In my new life philosophy. Okay, all right. Should we zing to the front? Let's do the news section, edited with aplomb, as always, by Beth Webb.
Gusto.
So we kick off the magazine with just a big old State of the Union roundtable, including you, of a bunch of Empire writers, and talking about all kinds of stuff. The Warner Brothers Netflix deal, the spectre of AI, are there still movie stars, what's going on with the box office, and that's just a big old four-page.
What is going on with the box office?
You tell me.
I don't know.
Oh, right.
Lots of movies out. Some people are seeing them, some people aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was fun to do.
We talked about, our movie star. Are there any movie stars left? Because movie stars don't seem to move the needle hugely with films that you can have. You know, Julia Roberts or George Clooney in a film, and it might still tank. And you know, even Tom Cruise maybe has some disappointing results these days. But But we wrote this before Marty Supreme came out, and I think there was discussion of, is Timothée Chalamet the last, you know, bankable proper movie star? And it came out and seems so, right? Like, it did well.
He certainly, yeah, to get a movie about near three-hour movie about ping pong. To nearly 100 million in the States. I think it will hit 100 million. Yeah, that's a sign of a movie star. But is he the last movie star? No. There'll be other movie stars after Timmy Two Meats. And there are other movie stars in existence alongside Timmy Two Meats. But he certainly
is. It's more dramatic to say he's the last one.
Yeah, but I don't agree with it. I don't agree with the premise. So therefore, I probably said that this piece and it was cut out. I was silenced here. I will not be silenced now. It's my fucking show. Ha ha.
Yeah, yeah.
Take that.
Right, elsewhere, we do a few stories where we talk to like a double act of stars. So the British prison movie, Waste Man, which I've seen and I think I'm allowed to say it's really good. We talked to David Johnson, who's one of the most exciting actors.
Is he the last movie star, do you think?
I think he is. And Tom Blythe, also the last movie star.
Oh my God.
We talked to them about being cellmates in this very intense, terrific film. We talked to Claire Foy about Hawking.
Yes.
Straight up Hawking, in H is for Hawk.
As in falconry, not Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we don't talk to... Although, was she in the Stephen Hawking
film? No, that was Felicity Jones.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
My bad. Yeah. My bad. That interview is G for good. We talked to Chris Hemsworth and Mark Ruffalo about Crime 101.
We did. That's very exciting.
We talked about... There's a story on Arco. We talked to the filmmaker of that. French animation that's coming up.
And it was BAFTA nominated, but was it Oscar nominated?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't want to say. But it's getting a lot of buzz.
If it wasn't, there's only one thing to say. Arco, fuck yourself.
Indeed. We did a photo shoot with Alfie Williams of the 28 Years Later. Because he's great. He's great. He's Spike.
Good. I wanted an explanation. You gave it to me. He is, by the way, now very, very tall, Alfie Williams. And, you know, so if they are going to make a third 28 Years Later movie, it might have to take place 28 years later.
I hope they do. I have worries after the Bone Temple box office, but I really want to see Cillian Murphy come back. I really love both of those.
I also have worries.
Yeah. Baz Luhrmann talks to us.
Baz Luhrmann?
He's mad about Elvis. And he talks about his new documentary, Elvis Epic, Elvis Presley in Concert.
It's such a huge epic.
it's so epic that it's all caps apart from the I, which is lowercase. And finally, we do Pint of Milk with Catherine Waterston.
That's an exhausting section. There's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. My God. Mm-hmm. Catherine Waterston, indeed, the star of Thackham Hall.
Mm.
I really like that movie. Did you see it?
No, I haven't. I want to.
It's right up your alley.
No, I'd love to see. I'd love to.
Right up your Thackham Hall.
My Thackham Alley.
Yeah.
We got the review section. We got everything. All the big reviews you want.
Yeah.
And a few you don't. At least two you don't.
Which are the two you
don't? You want all of them.
All of them. They're all great. All the films that you could wish to read about are in there. It's fantastic. Well done, John Nugent, who marshals this thing every month with machine tool precision.
He throws. Not a lot of people know this, but he has like throwing stars. And if he sees a film, he will throw the right number of stars, like a ninja. And that's how we decide on our star rates.
It's why we don't have workies anymore, because...
they're all dead.
Yeah. John would take out the workies with a shuriken.
Yep.
So there we go. That is fantastic. We'd go through it all, but there's... Yeah, movies. You name a movie, it's probably in there.
Mm-hmm.
Butch and Sundance.
It's not in there.
Damn it. All right, let's move on to my section, the best section, which is the final cut section. It's the home entertainment section at the back of the magazine, but that does not mean you should discount it or dismiss it. No, sir! You should read it and savor every page. Starting off is our usual four-page Q&A, but I apparently have to print a new one every month. Nick is very clear on this point. I can't just reprint the same one every month.
You got away with it for a while. But we clamped down.
Didn't we, though? And this is before my time. Didn't we have LA Confidential?
Yeah, that's my fault. So I was doing the section back then, and I commissioned... I hope it wasn't the same writer, but we did LA Confidential more than once. But hey, it's a double masterpiece in my book.
It's a double masterpiece.
It's a double masterpiece.
We came close, actually. We came close recently.
It's a masterpiece.
I have a long list of Story of the Shots, the films we've had in Story of the Shot.
Yeah.
And... Lawrence of Arabia wasn't on there. I was like, this is ridiculous. Lawrence of Arabia isn't on. Yeah. Okay. So I commissioned I think, like I said, I commissioned Ian Freer to write. We found a picture of Lawrence of Arabia. I thought, this is going to be a great picture. It's of Peter O'Toole on horseback, you know, rousing his troops, leading them into battle. I went, that's going to be an amazing story of the shot. And I sent it to Ian Freer and said, can you write me, you know, 450 words, talk to anyone who's still alive, and, you know, give me a copy in 2 weeks' time, please. He wrote back and went, I did this for you last year, mate. This exact pick. This exact pick last year.
The least shocking thing I've ever
heard. I went, what? And no one could remember.
And it got printed.
No one could remember. So I had to go through. Wow. I had to go through each issue of Empire.
Wow.
Trying to find this. Wow. And it was like, it was like a year and a half ago we printed it. That's a great story.
So you can see our organizational powers are very strong.
But I do have the long list of Story of the Shots.
Yeah.
That was just somehow the only one that didn't get on there. Anyway.
Yeah.
I have to do a new one of these every month. This month it is Joel Edgerton. This was perfectly timed, just in time for him to not receive an Oscar nomination for his role
in
Train Dreams. He's great in this movie. He should have been nominated. Shame on the Academy. But anyway, I sat down with him in London just before Christmas, and this is the result. It is a lovely, no-holds-barred chat that goes through his career, and is he's just a great guy, so it's a fun interview.
I think this interview is really, really good.
Oh, my God.
Because of Train.
Oh, fucking Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I did learn that he does. There's a Train Dreams bedtime story to help you go to sleep.
Yes.
It's great.
Yeah.
All films should have one of those. What would be the most inappropriate?
28 years later, the Bone Temple,
later,
I think.
Bone Temple, yeah. the calming story, bedside story.
Samson screaming in your ear.
Oh, that's quite chilled in Bone Temple.
That would not be good.
What else?
Other highlights in here, I won't go through the whole thing. We have Anatomy of the Creature from Frankenstein. We have the amazing Mike Hill, who designed the makeup and prosthetics for Jacob Elordi and Frankenstein, talking us through how he did it and various little bits to point out. Alex wrote, I am going to go through the whole thing. Alex wrote a really great Boogie Nights.
It's a really, really, really good piece on Boogie Nights, I've got to say.
Yes.
Alex is the PTA whisperer, and he wrote a fantastic piece. I learned a lot from that.
Yes, absolutely. The ranking is Mission Impossible, all 8 Mission Impossibles. I spoke to Noah Baumbach for a spoiler special on Jay Kelly. Kim's column is there again, talking about spooky movies. The Story of the Shot is 400 Blows, which we definitely haven't done before. And Taron Egerton is our time capsule this month. I went to his flat to do this, and I had an iPad loaded with pictures from his movies, and and he was very, very candid about a lot of these movies. Some were good experiences, some were bad experiences, some he has forgotten about, shall we say. But
I'm excited for his accent in Apex.
I'm excited for Apex.
Playing a South African. Is he South African in it?
I don't know.
But I'm excited.
He's good.
For
he's very good with accents.
I'm excited to see him go full psycho in that.
I'd love to hear his Gollum. It better be better than mine. Mm. And the quiz this month is about Edgar Wright. I'm going to give you the first three.
Okay.
Many people believe Shaun of the Dead was Wright's first movie, but he actually directed the film that got a theatrical release in 1995 when he was barely out of his teens. What's it called?
Easy. The Jeremy Beadle starring A Fistful of Fingers,
correct,
which I did an oral history of, and you can read it on Empire Online.
Indeed. Stars my good friend, Baz Jones, as well. What is the name of the company Shaun works for in Shaun of the Dead?
Fori Electronics.
Fori Electrics.
Oh, come
Fori
on.
Electric, rather. And question three, Wright directed the trilogy that became affectionately known as the Three Flavors Cornetto Trilogy, but which is strawberry, which is mint, and which is vanilla?
Oh, strawberry has to be blood-colored. It's got to be Shaun of the Dead.
Correct.
Mint has to be The World's End, because that's the color of sci-fi, green. Everyone knows that.
Your logic is impeccable. And
vanilla... it has to be by elimination, Hot Fuzz, but what is the reason for that?
I just think they liked it and they went for
it. They ran out. What is the third flavor?
Because there's lots of blood in Hot Fuzz too.
In fact,
arguably more in Hot Fuzz than in Shaun of the Dead.
That's true, but yep.
That's okay, but you're absolutely right. Your logic was impeccable, but also flawed. But yet it got you to the right answer. So there's 20 questions in there. If you think you know the work of Edgar Wright, go check it out.
Your quizzes are brutal, I just want to say. If anyone out there is getting 20 out of 20 on these...
I mean, the answers are provided on the page.
You can also...
Just turn your head upside down. You'll be
okay,
fine.
Looking forward to that.
All right. We're going to finish off by going through the contents.
Oh, no.
What have you changed? What have you changed this month?
Good Lord.
Oh, God. I'll be honest, it's not my funniest.
Yeah, you can blame that on me.
I haven't knocked it out of the park this month at all, and so therefore I shall not be highlighting any of them.
Okay.
Therefore, there's only one conclusion to draw. Nick rewrote the entire thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a great way to end a podcast episode trying to get people to buy an issue of a magazine.
Well,
to
people
end.
Aren't buying it for content. They're buying it for the incredible celebration of Fellowship of the Ring.
That's true. That's true. All right. But, well, the end of a podcast is never early, nor is it late. I think we may have wrung out rings.
Yeah.
But please do check out the issue. Genuinely, we spent 6 months making it. And it was a real labor
that.
Of love. It
not
was a real labor of love.
This was the issue that we had to finish in about 2 weeks.
That's true.
Before Christmas.
That's true. So if you spot any mistakes, it's because we had to do this issue in about 4 hours.
Yeah.
And it broke us. And
yes.
We needed a Christmas break to repair ourselves. But I'm really, really pleased with this one. And I love these films. They mean a lot to me. I think you bought me a Peter Jackson action figure of him as his cameo from the extended edition of Return of the King. He's not even
I have forgotten
cut.
About this, and you mentioned this
and I dropped him
yep.
and I broke his foot off, sorry about that, Peter Jackson. But I've got it and it's one of my proudest possessions.
Jack's on, Jack's off.
Yeah.
Oh no, that didn't.
Oh dear.
That sounded wrong.
Oh dear.
Oh no. That's a bad way to end this
Yeah.
episode.
And finally, I just wanted to give a shout out to the great artist Chris Christodoulou, who has worked for DC, Warner's, Disney, Marvel, and designed our amazing subscribers cover with some brand new original Lord of the Rings art, which I absolutely flipping love. And it's got everything. Rings, the Eye, Dark Hour Eye of Barad-dûr, and even Gandalf's bushy beard. And it's an amazing bit of art. I would put that on a wall.
Would you?
Yeah, but it would mean destroying an issue. So better not.
All right.
But it's fantastic. And so we have a subscription deal on. Should we mention that?
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Six issues for $19.99, I want to say.
Wow.
And you can go and sign up to that and get all manner of cool things. We
EmpireOnline.com.
Do exclusive subscriber covers every month.
Amazing. Go and party like it's £19.99 at EmpireOnline.com. Also, if you're there and you haven't already and you fancy it, sign up for the VIP Club, which brings you loads of exclusive events every year. You get Spoiler Special podcast subscription as well and a magazine subscription. And Nick will come around your house and regale you with cut stories from this issue. It is an absolute belter. Issue 450. Mm. 450 to go. Until we're done.
Why are we done? Okay.
So 900 seems
like a
nice...
So we're halfway there. You arbitrarily decided that we're going to do 900 and finish.
Yeah.
Well, it feels a long way off. That's
another 37
years. Yeah, I'll see.
I'll see you in hell.
Oh my God, 37 years. I will be Nick the Grey at that point. But
I mean, the odds are you'll be Nick the Dead.
I'm taking a few issues at a time. I don't want to think about the next 450. But
yeah,
we are excited. We have some cool stuff coming this year. We're actually more into plans now than we have been in my memory for a very long time.
Many plans.
And there's some very cool stuff. We're just finishing the next issue today. And we've got some stuff lined up all the way till the end of the year. So keep joining us.
Keep joining us. It is a fantastic issue, crammed so much with Lord of the Rings stuff and other goodness as well. I cannot recommend it enough. It's available on all good, evil, and virtual news agents. It seems pretty heavy. I can carry it. And I can carry you. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks. I'm just going to get in your arms now.
How long's our fellowship been, Nick?
Oh, I want to say 22 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
We've had a laugh. What a laugh it's been. Anyway, that is it for this latest episode of the Shameless Plug. And yes, I know we didn't do any listener questions, and I know I said we would, but it's still press day. Nick has to go back and read some pages. I got to go back and edit this. We will do it at some point. I promise you, it will happen. Anyway, that's definitely it. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye, Nick.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. Hey, Gollum. How would you take us out? Oh, simples.
I like my podcast wine rickling.
Do you like car insurance, my precious?
Just go to comparethemarket.com. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.